Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of AARP Iowa. Real possibilities for people of every age. AARP Iowa and Country Vet Naturals. Loved by pets, trusted by owners. CountryVetNaturals.com.
Welcome back to the Business News Hour. This is Out to Lunch with the Business News Hour, and we are at Vino 209 in the historic Valley Junction, and we get to talk with Kirsten Anderson. If that name sounds familiar, it should. We'll get into that in just a moment, but first, welcome, Kirsten. Good to have you here.
Thank you. I'm pleased to be having lunch with you today, Michael.
This is fun, isn't it? What
is
a great place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we love it here. And you know, and Kelly and Andrew and the rest of the staff are so good to us. We just brag them up all the time. Good stuff. Tell us a little bit about Kirsten Anderson. And again, I mentioned the fact that that name should be familiar. And I was talking to my friend Jeff Stein from KXEL just earlier today. He goes, oh, yeah, I know her. Who is Kirsten Anderson?
Kirsten Anderson is a woman on a mission, and that is to end workplace harassment in my lifetime, and I think we can do it. I am trying to do that through education, opening minds and hearts, and encouraging more civil discourse. And people will probably recognize my name because of a very public lawsuit against the state of Iowa that I won almost a year ago.
Yeah, that was a monumental event that really, in the state of Iowa, started unhinging several things, several instances of sexual harassment or inappropriate conduct under the Golden Dome.
That's right. I hope that the case that I brought forward shed a very bright and shiny light on what really happens at the State House.
I'm silent for just a minute because one of the things that is just astounding to me is that we elect individuals and hire individuals to work on our behalf at the State House, and yet this kind of activity, apparently, according to testimony and what we've seen since that time, is relatively common and has been that way for quite some time.
We've seen a lot of other, well, at least I have because I follow this, but I've seen a lot of other state houses throughout the country also shed a light on this pervasive problem. And people, I think now, feel that there are strength in numbers and they feel safer and more comfortable coming forward talking about being sexually harassed and bullied at our state capitals throughout the country. It's a problem. People abusing their privilege of power.
Well, that was my very next question. Is it a thing about power?
It is. It boils down to power and control. And when you combine people who already have a self-inflated ego, who have been elected to office, I'll even go so far as some have a God complex. These people are abusing, and it's not everyone. It is people who are abusing their privilege of power and exercising inappropriate control over other people.
And that does affect all of us. And in this particular case, much has been made about it, about the state of Iowa having to pony up a significant amount of money for what happened.
That's right.
And that touches, and I know you're aware, that touches every single taxpaying citizen and business in the state.
It affects everyone.
It does affect everyone. And there have been, interestingly enough, since a year ago, there have been several high-profile cases here in Iowa that have resulted in people leaving their positions of power at the state capitol. It is simply astounding, and I'm so grateful that you're going to spend some time with us here as we go out to lunch talking about your new business. You made a pretty bold statement. You want to end workplace harassment in your lifetime.
That's right. I think we can do it. I'm optimistic.
And how do we do that? I mean, in a nutshell?
In a nutshell, we bring it out of the shadows. We eliminate the stigma that is sexual harassment because there is an immense amount of guilt and shame associated with this topic. I've been there. I felt...
Guilt and shame from the aggressor or the person?
No, from the victim.
Ah.
From the victim, as in, I felt that I was a strong career woman and I could handle anything, including sexual harassment. And when in reality, I couldn't. I really couldn't handle it. It drove me to antidepressants, to seek counseling. I hid it from my spouse because I was embarrassed about it. I was keeping up this persona, and it all crumbled. So I think we need to start talking about this issue and eliminate that stigma. There's no guilt or shame associated with this.
One of the things that's been of major prevalence is the Me Too movement, and people talk about that. And we have seen high and mighty individuals be brought down with regard to that. And sometimes simply the accusation has been enough to do that. And I don't know. I don't know how I stand on that. I mean, I understand that we should believe the people who are telling the stories. But without due process, sometimes it's difficult. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Very, yes. I'm a communicator, and I believe that communication can help solve a multitude of problems,
yeah.
Right? And I think this is another instance where you need to communicate what's happening, how to fix it, how to work together to solve a problem. And due process is important in that little piece of that puzzle. Really, truly.
I would totally agree with that. We are with Kirsten Anderson. We are at Vino 209 in the historic Valley Junction as we go out to lunch with another thought leader talking about the instances of harassment. And so why don't we order something before we get in?
That sounds good.
I mean, we are out to lunch.
We
haven't ordered yet, for crying out loud. Where is Kelly? There's Kelly.
I'm here. How are you?
We are doing great. It is time for lunch, and I will allow Kirsten to tell us what she's going to have first.
Well, I'd like to know what the soup of the day is.
The soup of the day is chicken noodle.
Okay. I'm going to go with a Maytag and pear salad.
Brand new on the menu, so good choice. All right. And for you,
and me, well, you know, I'm going back to the standby. I once you have something that's really, 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 really good, like the truffle cheese. Oh my gosh! You can platz, ladies and gentlemen, with the grilled cheese.
All right. Here, what would you like for your side?
I don't know.
Chips
would be good.
All right, so we've got your Maytag and pear and your truffle grilled cheese. Anything else? No wine, Mike?
I wish.
Come on.
A little water would be good. A little water, that's good. All right. Kelly Sharp, ladies and gentlemen, she is the proprietor here. I mean, how cool is it when the wait staff is the owner?
It is. It helps.
Yeah, it does help. I mean, she knows exactly. And it, you know, we are so non-European in this country. We should be sitting here with a bottle of wine, having a nice conversation, you know, but we're so American about those kinds of things, apparently. We're with Kirsten Anderson out to lunch at Vino 209, and thank you. And we are talking about sexual harassment in the workplace. And, you know, that's something that touches so many individuals, not only the folks that that this happens to, but the folks that are involved in. Now, we're going to talk about your business in just a second, but you're also on the speaking circuit, so to speak. What are you doing?
That's right. I want to speak to as many people as possible about this topic because I feel that education is a gateway to helping prevent things, open minds and hearts to change the world. So,
what are you running up against when you're out there doing your public speaking? What kind of questions do you get? I can imagine the topic, but the questions, I bet, are very interesting.
They're interesting. They can be very personal at times.
Yeah.
They're also very political. My story, just naturally, there are some political aspects to it, so I get a lot of political questions. And people also, I can tell when people ask very pointed questions that they may be going through something similar and they want to know how to handle a situation.
To be validated.
To be validated, right.
Yeah. What topics do you speak? Obviously, sexual harassment. Is that then part of your story? You share your story.
That's right.
And then tell them how we might start to avoid this?
I talk to groups about how they can avoid situations, how they can make a difference in whatever space that they are in. I also talk about naturally how, as humans, we can handle more than we think we can.
Mm.
So it's a little bit of empowerment. And I also talk about tips to avoid harassment situations and tips to stop harassment in its tracks in whatever work situation that they are in.
I will allow you to share one or two of those with us. So what are a couple of tips to end sexual harassment in the workplace?
Number one, first and foremost, is standing up for yourself, realizing your own personal power. Because remember, we talked about how power and control is really the essence of this problem, and the abuse of power and control. And I feel that a lot of people don't recognize how powerful they are. Those abusers take that power away, but in reality, everyone has their own power and can stand up for themselves, stand up to inappropriate behaviors, right? So that's first and foremost.
So knowing, individual power, that you have a right, if you will, to A, exist, and to exert whatever power you have.
Yes, that people should not go along to get along, that they should say no, I disagree, or I find that inappropriate. Please stop. And there are a variety of ways you can appropriately respond, right? But that recognition of power is really eye-opening and helpful.
Imagine.
That's number one.
Number one. Number two.
Number two. Document absolutely everything, even if you think it might not be helpful. So that helped me win my lawsuit, truly. The documentation that I provided was extremely helpful. And everybody should be doing this on their own, keeping a cover
a
your
diary,
own.
Huh?
Yeah, keeping a diary, whether it's an email file, sending yourself personal emails to your personal email, something documenting the fact that inappropriate behavior has occurred. You've witnessed it. And even, I would say, document how it made you feel. Because the last
thing... That's part
of it. It's part of it. It's huge. The last thing anybody wants is a he said, she said scenario to come about. And that's when it gets ugly. Really ugly. The emotions are high. It gets really ugly.
And that's also validating to some point, I would suspect, if you're journaling that type of information. You have a running list, if you will, that you can use as not only a memory jog, but also if it ever comes to litigation, you've got something. At what point, are there more points? Because I've got more questions.
My number three is lean on your support system.
Ah.
Because this affects more than either a victim or a harasser, you need to lean on your friends, family, trusted loved ones, and know that you're not alone, because this situation is mentally draining and people shouldn't have to go through it alone.
And that was something from the very outset that you learned, because you kept this quiet from your husband.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. I thought I could handle it alone, and I, in reality, could not.
Kirsten Anderson, ladies and gentlemen, we're out to lunch at Vino 209 talking about what she's doing on the part to end harassment in her lifetime. What about, at what point, if harassment is going on, at what point do you confront the harasser?
It needs to be in the moment,
wow,
right when it happens, because that harasser needs to know that their either advances, their verbiage, whatever inappropriate behavior has been conveyed is not welcome in the future, now or ever. So it needs to be addressed immediately or as soon as possible.
You know, we had Tiffany O'Donnell from Iowa Women Lead Change on the broadcast recently. And we were talking about it. She said something I thought that was astounding. I said, well, we were talking more in the workplace, issues of promotion and glass ceiling mm-hmm. and those types of things. I said, well, how do you deal with that? And she said, you know, the best thing any of us can be across the board is a good human. Yeah, that's pretty brilliant. It really is. All you have to do is be a good human.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
Here with Kirsten Anderson, ladies and gentlemen, out to lunch at Vino 209. Let's talk a little bit about this new adventure, your business. What the heck are you doing now? You're speaking, and you've just started this company called Equitas Solutions. What is that?
Equitas Solutions is a consultancy that aims to help employers think differently about sexual harassment at work.
Okay.
So I feel that an area that could stand to improve is employers addressing the situation head on, not reactively, but proactively. Most often we hear about inappropriate situations in a reactive sense, as in a high-powered executive has harassed a female subordinate, let's say, and it's all over the news, it's all over the press, it's ruining both of their careers, right? That's a reactive situation. So I want to help employers proactively address it before it's too late. It gets to the press, right?
One of the things, and this is really a lousy thing for me to bring up at this point, but I've got to do it because I have heard this from no less than three pretty high-powered executives. And this has to do with trust. And I think this is stunning. Over the course of a couple of months, I was talking with individuals who are in positions of power who said, Kirsten, I have decided not to hire a particular person because that particular person is really very attractive and I don't want to take the chance of my business suffering because of that. That's somebody you need to talk to.
It is. That's really too bad. I think that's the wrong attitude and the wrong approach.
Yeah, deal with the situation.
There should not be fear associated with it, right? Let's deal with the situation. Let's talk about it. Let's discuss it. Let's tackle it head on.
So what astounds me is that very good people may be passed over for a promotion or to be hired because the people who are doing the hiring don't trust themselves or their existing employees. So rather than deal with it, like you say, we'll just pass on the most qualified candidate.
Right. I think they're
That's
not
sad.
Addressing something else. These trust issues are clearly getting in the way of them advancing their business.
How are you, with regard to Equitas Solutions, how are you marketing this? I mean, obviously, you're doing this when you're speaking. Have you got a book in you, by the way?
It's on my to-do list.
It's on the bucket list.
It is.
With the rest of us, once we have time. How are you marketing that?
Well, I'm taking a grassroots approach. Mm. I'm talking to you online, social media. I'm trying to get my name and face out there as much as I can and let people know that I want to help them mm-hmm. with this problem at their place of employment.
And this is a .org at the same time, isn't it?
Right now it is, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Kirsten Anderson, we were out to lunch at Vino 209 talking about workplace harassment. Now, off mic, I asked you about harassment in other areas, age discrimination, pay discrimination. I would suspect that some of this could morph into that.
Mm-hmm.
For example,
it's all
connected.
Yeah, it's all connected.
It is. Yeah. One of the things that just drives me absolutely crazy is the fact that here in the state of Iowa and across the United States, women apparently are only 78% worth 78% of what men are being paid. I don't get it.
Right.
How? You know,
That's a kick in the gut.
It is
sure.
A kick in the gut. And while women make up over 50%, 52%, I believe it is, of the population, still, you know, you talk about in our segment, Quick Bites, you talk about fiction and historical fiction. Historical reality is that women have been fighting for equality for centuries.
Way too long.
Yeah.
Way too long. And that's part of my big beef is that it's 2018 and we're still
having
this
deal discussion.
With this?
Yeah, what?
Right. I remember, you know, the Anita Hill trial, and I thought that things would be better by now since then, but quite honestly, they're not. They're not.
How do you think? We don't do politics on the Business News Hour. We try to stay out of that, but I don't know of a current time in my lifetime, and I've been around for a long time, where politics and business haven't been so intersected. How has the current political climate impacted that feeling of taking women for granted, of sexual harassment? What do you think?
I think that it plays a direct role, a societal, cultural role, when we have politicians who feel that the umbrella of free speech encompasses saying and doing whatever they please, right?
Yeah.
And that women...
Be a decent human.
Right.
Be a good human, for crying out loud.
I think respect plays a huge part in that, and we are not extending... Mm. Appropriate respect to one another in a variety of settings, let alone the workplace, and that's where we need it most.
You know, I think that's one of the things that I wrestle with quite a bit, is the opportunity to be respectful of even those who are saying heinous things and doing heinous things. I have always... I'm going to go down this path, and I don't want to, but I'm going to do it anyway. I have always respected the office of the President of the United States. Since I was a kid, my parents told me that is something that you respect no matter who sits in that chair. But I'm not there any longer. I'm just not.
And you're not alone.
No, and I wrestle with that, Kirsten, all the time. Not so much from the political nature, but exactly what you're speaking to. The lack of respect and dignity and decorum that should go with the highest office in the land. But apparently, 32% of the population think it's just fine.
Right. I think it's shameful. And I think we need to overcompensate by starting in the home and talking about it with our kids, showing them what real respect is, what it looks like.
Speaking of kids, this is a deep dive into Kirsten Anderson's life. how is all this, and I know you have a marvelous little boy, I met him about a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
Has any of this impacted him?
Oh, yes. He is growing up, learning a lot of very interesting things that I didn't think we'd need to teach yet, but he is.
How old is he?
He's 8.
Yeah.
Going on 18.
Yeah. Congratulations.
But we talk about bullying and respect all the time. When we see something on TV or on the internet, we talk about it in the moment, you know, how he interprets that, what's right and what's wrong, you know. We want to be on top of that.
Since your lawsuit was established and won and over with, you indicated to me about a year ago that there had been some significant threats on you and your family. Has that dissipated a bit?
It has. It has, thankfully. And, you know, it's easy to be an internet troll from the safety of your own living room, right?
In your pajamas in the
anonymity.
Basement. Yeah, right.
It is, right? And I don't think that's very fair, but that's the way it is.
So, Kirsten, we've been talking a lot about men and women and harassment that's done